Let's open to 2 Peter this evening, and we're in chapter 2, and we left off in the 18th verse. So that's 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Now, we've been studying of the eight characteristics of the false prophets. And this is a great warning to all men, but especially the brothers and sisters of like precious faith, that we're in a time, and we're in a time where there's a form of godliness, and yet there's the denying of the power. You think about today and how many people speak of God. You can't see an interview much anymore where somebody doesn't, well, I thank God. But are they really thanking God in the way and the only way they can thank God through Jesus Christ? Or is it just a God who is the tree, or a God who's the sky, or a God who's my bank account, or a God who's my relationship, or a God who's whatever it is? It needs to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, this is the warning of these false prophets. Now, we've gotten through six of them, and the first one was damnable heresies, those that would preach destructive choices. Anything apart from Christ and the Word of God is a destructive choice, brothers and sisters. Next one was pernicious ways. That's utter destructive ways of immorality. The third one was empty words motivated by greed. The fourth one was despising government and authority. The fifth one was the self-willed prophets. The sixth one is the evil speakers. And here in verse 18, we will hit number 7. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. And brothers and sisters, we hit this pretty hard. The Lord brought this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, when Brother Paul announced, he said, look, I don't claim to know anything among you. When these guys were starting to just spew forth all of their wisdom, all of their philosophies, he says, look, I don't claim to know a thing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if we know that, we're just fine. Praise the Lord. When we start thinking that we need to add things to bring something in to make the moment or the time more captivating, we've just left the will of God. Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. And brothers and sisters, that's what He has called us to. That, by His grace, is what is preached in this place. So the seventh one here is swelling words of vanity. Empty nothings containing no edification, no promotion whatsoever of spiritual growth. That's what we're hearing in these pulpits today. And this word allure is a very interesting word here. It means to bait. It means to bait the unstable with the lusts of the flesh. These ones can hook people so easily, and I'm not just going to say people, they can hook Christians so easily. These are the ones that promote a walk of feeling instead of a walk of faith. The slothful, unchallenging way of feeling that robs people of God's very best. Did you hear that? It's a walk of feeling. It's a slothful walk. It's an unchallenging walk. It's a walk that will never allow you to venture into the heights. And only those heights are attained by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Stay with me on this. This is some good stuff. See, are we going to church for anything but hearing the Word of God? Really, we need to examine ourselves in that. I would hope that we come to church, that you go to a church to hear the Word of God. I've heard so many times over the years, well, I go to church there because the music is great. Praise the Lord that we have musicians here and some wonderful musicians. And the reason they're wonderful musicians is because they've given themselves over to the Lord by grace. That's it. They're playing for His glory. And by the grace of God, we understand that entertainment is not the focus of this place. I'm thankful for good music. I'm thankful that we can have talented ones that are inspired of the Lord. But that music better profess His truth. and it best be the word of God, or again, it comes down to it's just swelling words of vanity. But are we going to church for the music? Are we going to church for the singles group? I'm telling you, this is out there today. Are we going to church maybe even for the coffee and donuts? God help us where we've come. Huh? I'm telling you, there's a lot going on. But see, in this portion of Scripture too, brothers and sisters, it hit right. It goes right back to Corinthians there. These false prophets were also hitting fleshly sexual errors at this time. And there are groups that are doing that in this day. But I just want us to understand, we don't need to focus on any particular sin, because you know what? Flesh is flesh. And but for the grace of God, there go we, all of us. It's His grace that keeps us. It's His grace that sustains us. But understand that we need to be on guard against all the wiles of the devil, from the sexual things to the self-righteous things, to the pride, to the bitterness, even, brothers and sisters, to the coffee and donuts. Think about it, you know. We need to be coming to church by His grace to hear His word. Now, what's also interesting, I think, in this verse, and one thing the Lord is bringing out here, is the proof that He is speaking to Christians here, is He says, they had escaped and were clean, which is so wonderful. At the very end of that 18th verse, it says, they were clean and escaped. So we understand that it takes the blood to clean you. And we're going to notice when we get to verse 20 that the people that he's referring to there in verse 20 aren't clean. They had a knowledge, but they never believed. See, the faith the size of a mustard seed, brothers and sisters, it claims Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what I love about our Lord. He's not looking for great promises. He's not looking for these great commitments. By the grace of God, He's looking for a heart that has the faith, by the grace of God, the size of a mustard seed. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for all your duty. He's not looking for all your works. He's looking for someone that's willing to receive the grace of God. He's looking for someone that's willing to be filled with the grace of God, which will cause that life to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's what the Word of God is seeking for at this time. But see, brothers and sisters, the pleading here and throughout this text is that we would be established, that we would have a stand, that we would be mature, that we would desire the sincere milk. When we come to the meeting, when we come into church, and how simply he says it there in chapter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow up. And the only thing that's going to grow us up is His grace. And His grace is in His Word. The grace of God is in that Son. And that is truly what the Lord is calling us into, this maturity that will grow us up. All right, going to verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So this is the eighth and the final one, and it's the promises of liberty, or the promise of freedom. And I think what irony in this statement, because all of these false doctrines that are spewing out at this time, with all of its promises of great freedom and the promises of great enlightenment, whether it comes from educated, cerebral professors that are speaking the philosophy, whether it's coming from talk show hosts, whether it's coming from motivational speakers, maybe even it's coming from pulpits that seem to be just spewing all of the propaganda today, because there's always an agenda behind these pulpits anymore today that is anything but Jesus Christ. All of these false doctrines are already the slaves of sin. They're bound and they're chained. And but for a one of them knowing Christ as Savior, they have a reserved seat, as it's been speaking of over and over and over, in eternal darkness and damnation. Judgment is coming, brothers and sisters, and we need to be aware of it. Now, we understand as Christians, our judgment is now. We're being judged for reward. But I sure don't want to just be building up a lot of wood, hay, and stubble in my life, because I've been going after things that might seem attractive, that might seem tickling to my ears, that might seem that they have some promise of a nowhere. And that's exactly what it is. And I get to the end of it and I say, look at that, I've wasted it all. And brothers and sisters, I've grown up with different ones that are still very dear to me. They're still my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But they've departed from the truth. They've left it. They don't hold it dear. There's nothing to it to them anymore. And basically, they've come all but hollow. And it's so sad. I visit with them by the grace of God, not trying to press, but to encourage them in the things of God. But it's like there's nothing there. And you know what I'm talking about, because all of us have friends and loved ones that are like that. They get to those places that they face the mighty mountain. They face a real trial in their life. And you try to tell them, Jesus is here. He's on the throne. He will take care of this for you. And they look at you starry-eyed like they don't even know what you're talking about. And I say, you're seated in heaven just as I am right now because of the Lord and His blood that shed abroad in your life. And it's just a shame, brothers and sisters. May we wake up to it. But see, we need to heed this warning. I was thinking as God brought this to me, whether it's young people disobeying authority, not respecting elders. We've been speaking of this much. All of us are encouraged anymore to act out. But you know what? If you act out in faith or tell them about Jesus, then you're to shut up. Come on now. See, they want it both ways, don't they? Any way but the way. And that's about the truth of it, the matter. And then I think of our ladies. There's so many things coming at you. But I think of even this feminist movement that had been going on for some time. I think of how many women it's made slaves of the world. And that's the truth. You have to know the Word of God. And men, it's the same to us as well too. How society has made us slaves of money, and fame and achievement. And even leisure, if you think about it as well too. I appreciated Brother Hill saying it so many times. Has vacation become our vocation? Has retirement become your vocation? Is that your calling? Is your calling a bigger home? Is your calling all of these things? I hope we understand our calling is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the message that we're under. Now, praise God, whatever other fringe benefits He brings my way, I hope to receive them in the fullness of faith. But by the grace of God, may it always be on the prize, on that high calling message. Praise God. Now, I think of the rich and famous that are starting to get into our society as well too. They've been even making up, or even not necessarily just making up, but sure promoting all of these false religions of the world. Showing off their brilliance, showing off their enlightenment into what they think that they understand now. God help us to wake up. Please let Jesus be the one that influences you. Please let the Word of God be the light in your life. That's your enlightenment. Praise God. I want to illuminate from within the things of God. And brothers and sisters, when we hear things and we know and we're convicted in heart that these are not the things of God, no matter how much you may like a celebrity or you may like somebody, I'm telling you, get away. Get away. We're to flee those evil things. The very appearance of that evil. And brothers and sisters, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Because you know why? Because you're his sheep. And his sheep know his voice. And he's speaking to you all the time. And we're without excuse. And we need to quit messing around and by the grace of God, get in tune with His very best so we can be led into the valleys, we can be led into the plateaus, and we can be led into the heights. Because that's the travel that God wants us to have, is to follow Him. Praise God, is to follow Him. I'd like to end this with Romans 6:16. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And that's the encouragement that we are following something. You are listening to something. You have a belief about something today. And I do believe that everyone here tonight is a child of the King. I hope you would be if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Not that He's just a personal Savior. He must be yours. Welcome to the family of God. I believe you, Lord, come into my life. And that's as simple as it is. But brothers and sisters, this is what we need to be mindful of, is that we are brought into this. We are brought, we have been made holy, we have been made righteous in Him. But now, brothers and sisters, the choice is, are we going to lay it all upon the altar? Are we going to give the Lord every aspect of our life, even the deep, dark places of my heart? Do I say, Lord, I want you to come in for that as well. I don't want to come 90%. I don't want to come 95 or 99. By the grace of God, I want all of it to be on the altar. Perfect and complete in all the will of God. Doesn't mean I'm going to be a perfect person. It doesn't mean I'm going to be, in a sense, the best person that you've ever seen. But it does mean that I'm a yielded vessel. And a yielded vessel, let me tell you, doesn't just have a chance. He's got all the hope and is abounding in hope because he knows what God can do. Praise his name. All right, let's go to verse 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge. Now look at that. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Let me tell you something. Brother Peter is really being inspired of the Holy Spirit. He is getting down, I'm telling you, and into the crevices of the heart and all of these things. And now this is different, brothers and sisters, than those in the 18th verse. Remember, they were made clean, right? And they had escaped. Believers are always clean through the blood. But the very first thing I want us to note as we get into this 20th verse is that word the. In that third line down where it says, have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge. That word really is translated through a knowledge. It's a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They had a knowledge, but they turned away. They had a knowledge, and through that knowledge, they escaped the pollutions. They escaped much of the so-called sin as we see in this world. They seemed to live even a moral or a wholesome life. But let me tell you something, a moral or a wholesome life is very different than a holy life. Did you hear that? A wholesome life is not necessarily a holy life. You see, the world and its religions can appear wholesome, but only the blood of Jesus makes you holy. And that's it. There are many religions that seem to produce people that are very moral, that are very clean cut, that have very good intentions. But let me tell you something that the Word of God tells us very clearly. The self-righteousness of man is the most refuge, the most worst, if you want to say it that way, the most reputable thing to God. It stinks to Him. He called them rags, filthy rags. When we think that we can come to God in our own goodness, in our own merit, that is the most insulting thing that we could ever do to His Son. He gave His only begotten Son to die upon that cross. He gave His life for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin. That's the beauty of it all, is it is grace. It's grace. And grace is found one place, and that's in His Son. And grace is His Son. And He is that is everything to us. And I see it often, brothers and sisters, that people can have a knowledge. People can have a knowledge, and most do have a knowledge, but at the same time, they're not saved. I was encouraged the other day at that memorial service to bring out, you may know, I said to those people that were sitting there, You may know about the Savior. You may know about Jesus and His dying on the cross. And let me tell you something, if they didn't know, they know now. Oh yes, they do. They are without excuse. Their day of accountability, if it didn't come until then, it came then. And I don't take that anything boastfully. I'm just telling you, I know what God did that day. And that's what God has done, and that's what God is doing. He's bringing people. It's a pressing time. Jesus is about to come. And God would have not one to perish. He wants all men to be saved. But you know what? You have to have a willing heart. But you may know about the Savior, you may know about the dying on the cross, but until you believe and take Him as your personal Savior, and that His blood washed your sins, you are as lost as you can be. And that is the truth. It has to be personal. It has to be my Lord. It has to be my sins. Lord, I take you into my heart. Praise His name. All right, now you think of King Agrippa. He said to Paul, "Thou almost persuadest me." See, that close is not going to get it. Huh? What about Peter when he was stoned? Those that were stoning him, they were cut to the heart. Huh? They knew what was going on. They saw, but they didn't believe. We ask it often. I hear it from people often. How can people turn away from that? The Bible said, shoot, during that time, when they saw Him crucified, they knew what was done. It wasn't done in a corner, the Bible said. They have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. Let me tell you something. You make a choice to believe Him, and you make a choice to refuse Him. You weren't just born that way. Whom He foreknew. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves all men. As they spit upon Him on that cross, as they crucified Him, as they cursed Him, all He could do was say to the Father, "Forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Forgive them." I can't fathom that as a human. But praise God in His Spirit. He's given me more and more of a love to understand what You were saying that day, Lord. And most importantly, that You were saying it to me. He was saying it to me. He was saying it about You. You ever thought about that? Forgive Him. I'm dying for His sins. It needs to be that personal, brothers and sisters, I think, to ever really grasp what He did for you and for me. Praise His name. Judas, it was said of him, it was better for him not to be born than to betray, turn from the truth. Huh? But how about going a little bit further here tonight? You always kind of cringe when I say that, don't you? Well, I get a cringe twice. How's that? He's given me the manna to chew the cud a little bit, and now it's coming forth, huh? This verse, I really believe, reveals, brothers and sisters, a truth in Christians as well. Just as it says here, it would have been better for the sinner to stay ignorant. It is better for Christians, once they have seen and known a scripture, once they have seen and known a truth, when they turn from it, brothers and sisters, we are worse off than before we ever saw it. And that's the truth. Now stay with me on this. You know, the most miserable people I really have ever met are the Christians that I've known that have truly turned and left the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's the truth. It's a miserable place to be. It's hard to fathom. It hurts my heart to even think about it. But brothers and sisters, I know in my own life, the most miserable times that I've ever had was when I wasn't walking with the Lord. when I wasn't walking in the way that He would want me to walk with Him, when I wasn't living the life of a joy unspeakable and full of glory, when I didn't live by the grace of God, by faith. And I'm talking about the faith that I'm believing You, Lord, for everything. And He continues to bring us deeper and deeper and deeper. Brothers and sisters, I said it earlier, to whom much is given, much is required. And we are very responsible for the truth that the Lord has given us. And it will never sit right in our lives. I tell you very clearly, I know it from living. I know it from experience. I know it by the grace of God for very dear ones in my life to whom I love so dearly by the grace of God, who have turned from the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that don't hold it dear. You're marked. You need to get it. You need to understand it. The Word of God tells you very clearly, you are not your own. You are His. And you're not going to go out there, I appreciate this, you're not going to go out there and kick against the pricks. It's just not going to happen without consequences, without a convicted heart. It's not. And it's so much easier when you just submit. He's your love. Just fall into His arms. I need to quit playing hard to get. I just have to understand He's already got me. Huh? I'm His. And it's beautiful when we turn into His lovely face and say, Lord, I'm just going to go. Praise God. All right, let's keep moving. Verse 22. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, this is the epitome as to the lost state of these false teachers and these false ones preaching this false doctrine. Dogs and pigs. All right, dogs and pigs, especially in ancient Israel, these were the most vile of creatures. Sure didn't call them sheep, did he? And see, he calls his children sheep. All right, and these are dogs and pigs. Dogs that return to their own vomit. Pigs that return to the mire. They were never changed. That's the whole important issue here. They had never been changed. They had a knowledge of it. But let me tell you something. When you believe, you're changed. And when you're a child of the King, He's got you in His hand, and then you're in His Father's hand, and no one can pluck Him out of His Father's hand, because there's no one greater than His Father. We understand that. We cannot be separated from the love of God. He does not call His children dogs and pigs. All right. So even though these ones tried to transform, even though these ones were dogs from the very beginning, even though they brought into their lives morality, even though they escaped some of the pollutions of the world, at the end, they're still just a dirty dog. Maybe this is where they got that saying, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Oh, the things we think about in the office. Sometimes even out here. You know, if you really get into the Word of God, you'll understand that most of that stuff does come out of here in a lot of different ways. The man just thinks that they're so funny. But if you understand what the Lord's saying here, it's very serious. But let me tell you something. Our wonderful Savior's got a great sense of humor. And don't think He doesn't. And if you're too uptight to laugh, I just encourage you, get on your knees. Because you need a personality and a sense of humor. You really do. Or this life's going to be awful long. All right. But what this is saying here is man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. Look and see things as the Lord does. It'd be amazing. Condescend to men of low estate, really. You know, the last going to be first. And I tell you what, I want to pay attention to those lowly things. The Lord sure did. He came to save those, didn't He? Yeah. I appreciated Brother Ty and his sweet message he brought out, how he was so touched with that woman. Nobody knew her. Nobody cared for her. Who touched me? And you know that the elite had front row tickets to touch him and to grab him and all that. And man, she was in the back rows. But you know what? She pressed through. She at least got a little bit of his garment. And praise God, he said, who touched me? Well, you know what? Not only can we touch him, we can go boldly into the throne of grace. And I can sit there, and we're sitting there this evening, and we're delighting in the presence of the King and his Father. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just so blessed to God give us a heart to believe him like that. But you see, if God doesn't find Jesus in a heart, we're guilty. And we're guilty of never-ending darkness and isolation. So that's why, by the grace of God, may we see souls out there. May we be moved in the love of God. All right, let's go on to chapter 3. And chapter 3 is going to give us some inspiration of the return of the Lord and the day of the Lord. And even more importantly is encouraging us to be looking, to be loving, to be ready, and to grow up and to follow Paul as he followed Christ. All right, verse 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I love how he starts this out. He says, beloved. That means much love. And whenever the Lord really starts getting to use those words, boy, really pay attention. There's something special going on when he says, beloved. 1 Peter, if you remember back in verse 1 of 1 Peter, in chapter 1, he was speaking to the five provinces. He was speaking to a lot of different Christians in a lot of different places. But this is appearing to be, and especially this third chapter, it's becoming a very intimate time. It's closing time. Peter's going to step off into glory here in a moment. And the Holy Spirit is encouraging a writing in his life that is very intimate. And this may be only to one group of people. This might be to just one church there. It might be to just a few that are listening here. And there are such bridal undertones in this. And look what he says here first. Stir up. Boy, he's getting like Paul, isn't he? Isn't that precious? Remember how Paul came into Timothy there? He says, stir it up. Come on. Awaken is what that means. Awaken. Don't be sleepy. Don't fall asleep to the things of God. Awaken. I'm about to come. This is like, I do get romantic in thinking about these things, but I think about that lover that used to be at the window, and there was his bride-to-be up in that second-story window, and he's throwing those little rocks up there and getting her to awaken and come to the window. But this time he's come to the window, and it's not just to talk, it's to come away. It's time. I'm here. I'm ready. Behold. And praise God, I believe that there are hearts that are already coming down and ready to ride off with him, praise God. But he says here, awaken your sincere minds. See, these are the minds that are pure and sincere because of the grace of God. See, it's in sincerity, it's in truth, that's how we come. Brothers and sisters, really, let's not be pretentious Christians. We really don't have time for that. That is a waste of time. Let us be sincere in our worship. By the grace of God, let the love of God just be something pure and sincere which comes through these vessels and pours out to others. We're not impressing anyone. You may be thinking that you're fooling a brother or sister in Christ, but you will never fool God. It will not happen. And by his grace, that's where we sit finally and say, Lord, I'm understanding this more and more. I'm just here to receive of you. And what you make in this vessel is going to be just perfect. Praise God. And that's an exciting thing. And that's when there is a peace. That's when there is a rest. And I'll tell you what, that's when there is a testimony in your life. That's when it will be real. That's when it will work effectual. It might not be to masses of people, but I'll guarantee you, when you have the love of God radiating in your life, he'll bring someone that needs some of that honey. And he will. Praise God. All right. Now notice here how he's going to do it. How we, by his grace, have these pure minds that are sincere and wanting to receive. He's going to do it through remembrance. It's important to be mindful of the Word of God. Be mindful of it. Let it speak to you. Praise God. We need to be in prayer continually. We need to be in prayer always. That's how we get the mind of Christ. That's how He freely gives it to us. Is we're in complete and constant communication with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to pay attention. What this is alarming us to is to not be slothful, to take it more serious than anything in our lives, to put this Word first because this Word is our life. See, God's about to reveal something and it's very exciting. He's going to reveal those that have kept the faith. He's getting ready to reveal those that have fought the fight. He's getting ready to reveal those that have finished the course, brothers and sisters. But the enemy, he's always on the job, absolutely. But see, that enemy, I'm so thankful that God has got him involved in all of these before ordained good works that I should walk in them. I tell that to people and they just think I'm nuts. And I said, well, you just don't know the awesome infinite power of my God. And that He did prepare that wicked one for the day of evil. He created that. He knows what's going on. He knew I needed that jab and that thrashing right there. He knew that there needed to be a pit right there. But let me tell you something. He kept me from falling in it. Sometimes I just delight with Him. And I say, oh, look at all those evil ones that dug it. They're in there screaming. That's right. So just know it. It's coming. We talked about these Christians here. They were all worried about judgment. They're never going to get away from it. And by the grace of God, may He work in our lives truly to love people, because that's just even more victory for us. And it's victory truly, not just for me. It's giving that victory that He, you know, won for us upon the cross. I'm giving that glory to Him. Lord, this is something You did. It wasn't of me. Something You did in me. But the enemy is continuing to fight as he did the Lord in the wilderness. And what they do is they try to turn the truth into a lie. And the emphasis here is don't be surprised. It's going to come at us. It's going to come at us in all forms. It's going to come at us in all ways. It's going to come at us, people that are very close to us, brothers and sisters. People that might be our very dear friends that we wouldn't want to insult. That we wouldn't want to hurt. But stand. Stand. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. It's not trying to slap somebody upside the head with a Bible, but it is standing there in defense of the gospel. And you'll do them good by doing that. When you just try, just keep patting everybody on the head and it becomes good God, good devil, good everybody, you've hurt them. I don't want to hinder. As Brother Paul said, God forbid I would do anything to hinder this gospel, anything against it. I want to be a testimony. And let me tell you something. Often, brothers and sisters, a testimony is not a popular place to be in this world. Most of the time, it's not. Thank God that He gives us brothers and sisters of like precious faith that can appreciate a stand, and it's wonderful. But don't even look for that. If it's just Jesus and me and I'm standing in defense of the gospel, I've got it all. And you've got it all too. So don't ever be swayed otherwise. All right. Again, the emphasis here is it's going to come at us. So the emphasis here is to know the Word of God, to be in remembrance of the Word of God, to know the original, to love it. And you know what? Then the counterfeits will all stick out like a sore thumb. All right? People ask me, oh, do you know this religion? Do you know that religion? Oh, some of them I kind of do. But you know, once they start talking about them, well, I know why that's wrong. I know why that's wrong. Oh, that's just evil. Comes from one place. The wicked one. Comes from all that unbelief. And God forbid. Just know the Word and you'll be all right. Okay. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now this is precious because here's more signs of the coming of the Lord. Scoffers. That means mockers of the Lord. Thinking they are insulting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how exciting that is, because they're all about us today, aren't they? See, that's exciting. Yes, it does hurt my heart. But it's exciting because Jesus is about to come. It's more rampant than it's ever been. We have people that are boastfully getting up and saying, you're an idiot for believing in that Jesus stuff. You're a dunce thinking that you believe that Jesus is coming again. Well, that's what the Word of God says. It's absolute to me. You would have to be nuts not to believe this. There isn't anything that you could ever find in here or prove that was wrong, that did not happen, or will not happen. Because it's the Word of God. It's infallible. It's the only thing that's ever been given to men that is infallible. Because this is Jesus. This is why I'm thankful to say, well, I wish I could hear the Lord. I want Him to talk to me. He does. It's right here. Just listen to it. It's alive. It's so awesome, isn't it? And He talks to me and He walks with me and He tells me I'm His own. I love it. And this is His Word and what it does. It just picks you up. You talk about a picker-upper. Thank you, Jesus, how you carry me. But it's exciting, brothers and sisters, and we need to know that. But the word scoffer means to entwine or to tangle. And may we beware what we give ourselves over to. He continues to remind us of this much in Peter, doesn't he? Be careful what we hear. Really. I know people that think that, well, I'm just going to go sit. And I know that they preach error in there. But I'm going to be able to, you know, decipher it out and do all this. You know, when people start preaching error, it hurts my heart. I don't know about you. But there isn't anything that hurts me anymore. You know, you put them right up there, taking the Lord's name in vain. That can be done a lot of times out of just ignorance of a sinner. But I'm talking about the people of God and somebody that's even a Christian in a pulpit that's bringing forth things that are not true. And people that know better sit there and listen to it. Old fashioned? Nope, I just believe the Word of God. You didn't realize what you got here. I didn't either. Okay. What God can do. But I was thinking, too, of a couple brothers, truly, that had been in this meeting for years and continue to sit in things like that. And I pray for them because it does hurt my heart. And, you know, it truly, sin begat sin. And the further that we continue to compromise and the further that we go and spin away from the things of God, you don't realize how far apart you'll end up. And I'm talking about, I knew in their lives that they immediately went to a church that did not have anything to do with preaching about the bride of Christ. And then moved even into another church that they felt was better, that didn't even speak of the Holy Spirit. Finally into churches that didn't stand for the security of the believer. And then one of the brothers just even quit going to church. Well, why would you? It just kept going this and this and this way. All right. Well, let that speak to us, okay? So we need to know, you know, again, what God is doing. See, we entangle ourselves with that kind of stuff. It'll entangle us with all of its corruption, and it can even take us prisoner. Because remember what we read back in there in Romans, there in the 6th chapter, that to whom servant we are, that's the one we're going to obey. And that's how it works. All right, let's try to hit 4-7. And then we'll end with that. All right. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. See, they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now this is referring to those who deliberately question or deliberately deny the coming of the Lord, the flood, the creator of the universe. You deny and question whatever you want. But the call for us, brothers and sisters, the call to us Christians, is to not be ignorant of this spewing just defiance to God that's coming forth in more places today, and especially in pulpits and among the people of God. It's stuff like this that they say, oh, the coming of the Lord isn't really true. It's just a nice thought. I hear Christians talking like that. I don't know if you do, but I'm telling you that the Lord really isn't going to come. It's just you're going to see Him when you die. See, I seldom hear anymore the sweet joy and anticipation of the coming of the Lord coming out of people's lives. They say to me, they really ask me, are you really looking for the coming of the Lord? I remember so sweetly, it's just like it was the other day, and he's a dear brother to me, and I know God continues to deal with him. When we first met, and he was a man that's so zealous of the things of God, you know, always had his Bible with him, and always wanted to go have lunch, and, you know, he'd pray for lunch, and my food would get cold. And, you know, it was just a little long. And, you know, we wanted to get to eating, but he really loved the Lord, and it was a sweet thing. And see, I didn't mention a name. But he knows who he is. I think I shouldn't say he does listen, so I'm going to pay for it. But he's a sweet man. And the very first day I met him, and he kept talking and talking about the things of God. He knew I was a Christian, and he appreciated the love of God in my life. And all I could say to him, you know, he's talking about this and living for that. And I just said, I'm just anticipating and living to see Jesus. I want to see his face. I love his appearing. And I'm hoping he appears right now. And it just took him so back. It's like I never heard that before. And I'm so thankful. I think I've always heard that before, you know. And I mean, not just heard it, but people really living it. That it was their life. That truly was their calling. That was the vision that they have, is I'm going to meet the Lord in the air by His grace. Most real thing to me by His grace. And I'm so thankful that He's brought that to my life. But I was so grateful to God that, again, this life, He saw that. But anymore, it's like you're looking for the Lord to come. No. It's time to go out and save the world. It's time for the Great Commission. And I told you how the Lord brought that to me. And that guy said, man, the Great Commission right now is to get ready for the coming of the Lord. To meet Him in the air. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's right. That's the calling. Hallelujah. But you try to talk to these ones and they'll explain it away as imagery. Sure, we'll go to heaven, but you know, it's like when you'll die. And then the next step, I think, after that is heaven will just be imagery. And then the next step after that, Jesus and His blood will be imagery. And then it just kind of finally exits the building, doesn't it? And we're there, and it's here. Because it's exited songbooks in many a great religions that used to save many a people. It is here, and we need to be aware of that. And the most important reason is because the Lord is about to come. See, they claim that nothing's changed because it's been so long. It must have just been a story. And they do it willingly because they make a choice. Just as we make a choice if we're going to be disobedient to the Word of God. And it's always due to the fact when we disobey is because we're unwilling. We're unwilling. We're almost done here. Stay with me. We're unwilling to allow Christ to live in us. See, selfish lusts of the flesh that are unwilling, we're unwilling to let go of. And in that, we start to deny. We start to ignore. We start to distort. So to try to have the Word of God fit my lifestyle. And you know it. That's right. I want it to fit the way I want to live. Well, it doesn't work that way. And you'll never have the joy of the Lord when you live that way. You'll always know that you missed something when you go that way. Judgment is coming, brothers and sisters, and it's for the sinner, and it's right now for the believer. And how sad to think that I passed up His best because I was not in love with His appearing. Always appreciated my dear uncle as he encouraged me in that. He said, son, many things that are encouraged in the Word of God, but the requirement that I read, that I think captures all of it, is to those that love His appearing. And it does. It does. You're totally involved when you love His appearing. You're totally in love with Him when you love His appearing. And I think it's like my mom always used to tell me, and I've mentioned to you many times before, growing up, it wasn't about do's and don'ts. She didn't come out and said, son, you don't do this, and you do this, and you know. It was, son, just love the Lord. Fall in love with Jesus. He will convict you. And when you fall in love with Him, you know what? You want to see Him. You want to see Him, don't you? And when you want to see Him, you're living a life that's going to see Jesus. He changes you. Doesn't He change you? And He changes you one way. He changes you from glory to glory. He takes you to a higher place. He takes you to a higher perspective all the time. He gives you a higher vantage point all the time. I was thinking as He's getting me ready for Sunday, if He tarry, He's brought a scripture to my heart that I don't know how many times I've preached on it. It might get like a John 3:16 story about that poor brother that kept preaching it. And you know what? I'm going to stay with the Lord. I hope you'll stay with me. But you know what? It's like He just keeps taking me higher in it. And you know what? I get out there at this new height and I can see even more. And I can get up to a new height and I can see even more. And it doesn't end. It's so tremendous. I just get in there and I say, Lord, we're going to the heights today. We're getting up there and it's so precious. But here's the proof, brothers and sisters. Let's not be stupid. This is God we're dealing with. And I do. I just want to end it with verse. I'm going to give you one more verse in verse 8 because I did want to end with this. But beloved, be not ignorant of the one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is not limited by our laws of nature. God is not regulated by time. He is Alpha, Omega. He is beginning and end. He's not the beginning. See, a lot of people say, well, He's the beginning. No, He's beginning. He's end. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He always was and He always is. And praise God, we can delight in His power. And praise God, we can rejoice in His ability. And just think, that God is your dad. Yeah. And I say that in no disrespect. I love that He's my Father. I'm so thankful I can call Him Father. But I have the intimacy with the Father that He's my dad. And that means a lot to me. He gave me a very sweet daddy in this life. And there isn't anything I couldn't go to Him with. There isn't anything I couldn't discuss with Him. The Lord took Him home almost 8 years ago. But the Lord has shown me who my Father truly is. And I come to Him boldly. And we come to Him boldly this evening. And I know that He'll give us that peace and rest for our souls. If God willing we meet again, He'll be just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for this time and Your wondrous Son, Jesus' name. We appreciate Your presence here. We so thank You for the wondrous Holy Spirit that comes and anoints Your word. Lord, let the love of God just be shed so abundantly in the lives here tonight. We appreciate every life that's here. We're thankful for lives that love You, Lord Jesus. What wonderful time spent. How we can occupy and redeem the time by Your grace. And Lord, thank You again for building Your promise and Your exceeding great and precious promises in us this evening. We give You all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.